It's real good to see each one of you here this morning, and we have a special treat, and it's my pleasure to introduce to you Tom Rainey, who is a member of our Tri-Cities Gideon Camp. He lives in Piedmont, Saddlehorn Drive, is that the name of it? Next to Biddy Lounge, so we're not going to hold that against either one of you. But Tom is a member of Grove Station Baptist Church, and he's been speaking for the Gideons for a couple, 3 years, and we're looking forward to him bringing a report as to what the Gideons are doing in our area as well as throughout the world. So, Tom, if you would.
Thank you. We receive many letters and each and every year. Linda McLaughlin wrote one of those letters to us. And in it she expressed that if God is like a father, I don't want anything to do with him. My father was mean and abusive, and I could never make him love me. Good grades in high school, elected the leadership positions, nothing worked. I couldn't make my father love me. So by the time she started studying at Arkansas State University, she'd already made up her mind that she was going to major in boys and booze. And before that first school year was over, she'd already experienced charges of driving under the influence, abortion, and two situations of failing in suicide. Linda was 18 years old and no longer wanted to live. And so she said it was time to get serious about committing suicide. So she set a date for a weekend, not far before the end of the school year, and started making plans to kill herself. But then one day she was walking across the campus, and there were some men stretched out, standing on the sidewalk, handing out little testaments. And she avoided the first one, but then decided the easiest thing was to do was just go ahead and get one. She's trying to get back to her room. When she accepted it and she's walking back across the campus, she realized it was a Bible. She said, everybody needs a Bible before they die. And by the time she got back to her room, she had made up her mind that maybe I should know what a Bible says before I die. And so she sat down and started to read in the book of John. And Linda discovered that she did have a father that loved her very much. Her heavenly father loved her. And she surrendered her life to Jesus and wrote a letter because she wanted you to know. Because you are a part of this ministry. We are an extension of the missionary arm of your church. Gideon's a Christian, business and professional man committed to our Lord Jesus Christ and to the distribution of His Word. And as told earlier, we place them in colleges and schools. We give them to policemen, firemen, to the military, anywhere God opens the door. And you are a part of that because we are a part of your church. A.J. Warren and his wife raised 5 children right up here in Clinton, North Carolina. He was an airline pilot, spent a lot of time away from home. And when his little daughter Renee was 14 years old, she started going to church with some friends of the family that lived down the street. AJ thought, well, I guess that's all right. He never had that in his life when he was growing up. He come from a good family, but they just didn't go to church. So that was okay. But then a year later, she attended an evangelist worship service over in another town, and she came home one night, Mama, Daddy, I've been saved. Jesus is a part of my life. And AJ thinking, well, that's different. Well, I guess it'll be all right. But then when her pastor told AJ that the Bible was the inerrant Word of God, AJ said, can't be. He said, men wrote that book. It can't be. So he decided, he'd seen those Bibles in those hotel rooms, said he was going to start reading that book. He was going to find out the truth, and he was going to straighten his little girl out before she lost all of her friends and messed her life up. So from that point on, he said for the next 2 years, every time he was away from home as an airline pilot, he was away often. Every time he was away from home, he'd look for and he'd find that Gideon Place Bible in that hotel, and he would read it. For the next 2 years, he never failed to find one. And he said that sometimes he'd get so mad and he'd cry and he'd fuss and he'd argue, but he never told anybody that he was doing that. Said even his best friend didn't know it. But then one night he was at home. It's about 1 o'clock in the morning and there was a knock on the door. Some men had come to tell A.J. that this little girl had just been killed in a car wreck. Oh, A.J. said it. He just wanted to die. So he went down on the sat on the steps in the basement and just cried his heart out and said he'd got to thinking about his little daughter and how she had changed as she'd come to know Jesus and how she'd take her Bible with her everywhere she went and tell people about Jesus. And said then he got to thinking about all those things that he'd been reading in the Bible. And he said right then and there he surrendered his life to Jesus. And he said God took the worst moment of his life and turned it into the most precious moment of his life as he, like his daughter Renee, accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. James Paris had a different experience with one of those Bibles. He said that he stole one time. Said all he knew about it, said it had property of the Gideons stamped on the inside of it. And said it was just a pretty book, but a picture of a jar on the front of it. So he got it and kept it. Said he was doing real good in those days, but he was just a thief. Said he stole everything he could get his hands on. Then one day he was climbing up a fire escape on a 4-story building with the intent of breaking in that building. Said he slipped and fell. Said for the next year he was in several different hospitals. Then after that, for several years, he was in a back brace, couldn't hardly get around. Said, but one of the few things that the police gave back to him was that pretty book with that picture of a jar on it. Said he couldn't do much anything else, so he read that Bible. And said he kept reading it and time passed. Said one day he asked somebody, says, what is a malefactor? Without any hesitation, that person told him, a thief. Said, a thief like me? He said, my goodness, said, Jesus told a thief one time in the Bible there, says, today you'll be in paradise with me. He said, and right then, he says, Jesus, if you're really God, let me be a part of your kingdom. And he did. And that man said that many years have now passed, and every day that he still continues to grow in God's grace. And he wrote a letter because James Paris wanted us to know that he had accepted Jesus Christ after his experience with that Gideon Bible. Last year, more than 70 million copies of God's Word was distributed around the world in more than 190 countries, printed in more than 80 languages. Well, they all produce fruit. We have a promise. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please and prosper in the thing whereto I send it. One of those countries that was distributing Bibles, we were distributing Bibles in, was in Asia. And Dr. Bardeen. Gideon named Barry Cook was going. He joined with a local Gideon there, and they were going to a hospital to do a distribution. And they first had to get permission from this director, and I can't pronounce his name, Bardeen or something like that. And said that when they first got there, that the doctor and this local Gideon talked for a while and then turned to explain to him what they'd been talking about. And it turns out that this doctor, she had been listening to a Christian preacher on a local TV station and said she was hearing things that she just didn't understand. And so through the interpreter, Brother Cook asked her, says, well, have you ever been to church? And she said, yeah, lots of times. But I'd get to the door, look in, get scared, and I'd leave. And so he then asked her, said, well, do you think you'd like to be a Christian? And she said, yeah, someday I think maybe I would. And he said, would you like for this to be that day? She said, yeah. And so him using his scripture, his testament in English, and her using hers in the local language, he was able, through the interpreter, lead her through the plan of salvation. And she prayed and accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. And, of course, then she did permit them to have the distribution in the hospital there. And you were a part of that, too. And then another over in Africa in a country named Benin or Benin or something, a Dr. Jesus, said he didn't realize that he was not a Christian. He thought he was a Christian. Said he didn't realize he wasn't until when he was in college. He received a copy of the Testament, and he said in reading it and studying it, he realized that he was lost, and he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And he studied to be a math teacher, and that went on. He taught math for 18 years. But by the time this Gideon came in contact with him over there, he had become the secretary general of an organization that sent men out to organize student Bible study groups all across that land. And so they discussed what he had been doing and how people were getting saved and how he appreciated the Gideon ministry. And then the Gideon asked him, said, if you could say something to the Christians in North America, what would you want to tell them? And he said, I would thank them for the scriptures that they have sent. Said, I would tell them that the need is great. And I will give them many examples of how people have come to know Jesus as a result of their efforts to send the Testaments here to our land. And you are a part of that too. Folks, we do need your help. We need prayer more than anything. Prayer is the backbone of this ministry. Prayer continues to open the doors of locations for us to go in, the hearts of men to allow us to come in. We need your prayer support. And of course, we need workers. And many workers already in this congregation, but it don't ever hurt to ask again. So if you are a business or professional man and God is calling you into this ministry, talk to your pastor, because you must have his recommendation. Or talk to one of the many Gideons that are in this congregation, or to me after this is over. And of course, we need money. Those Bibles that are placed in the hotel rooms cost $5 each. That same $5 will buy about 3 Testaments like they're distributed to the various places that you've already heard about here today. But one thing I do want you to know, and you may not, is there is a paid staff up in Nashville. There's a large building up there to be taken care of. But 100% of the overhead in this ministry is paid for by the dues of the Gideons and the auxiliary. If we travel to another town, to another country, we go at our own expense. 100% of any contribution that you make goes to the purchase of God's Word and the distribution. 100% of all the overhead is paid by the Gideon organization itself. And we thank you for that. There is a card program, and right here on the front row, we have a display right here with various cards. They've just expanded it. There's many cards for many different occasions. And don't want to spend a lot of time on it. There's a particular program that you could probably have to your Sunday school class explaining the use of them. But each card has got 2 envelopes with it. One, you fill out the card that you choose and send it to the loved one or the occasion that you want to express. The second is like a business envelope. Place you check in it, put it in the plate or put it in the post office, and it'll go to our treasurer. And we thank you for your support on that. Moving on, though, there's another young man named Ralph Stansel from right here in the upstate. Said that he was 38 years old, when I believe it was 38, 30-something years old whenever he went to the South Carolina penitentiary, primarily because he was just too sorry and low down to take care of his own family. Said, but while he was in there, some men would come and preach and hand out testaments and talk to him about Jesus. And said he got involved in that. Said he enjoyed it. It was good. Said he received one of those little testaments and he read it. Said he made God a lot of promises, but he never kept them. Said the time went on, and much sooner than he thought he would, he was released from the penitentiary, and he goes home, starts going to church with his wife. Said he enjoyed that. He enjoyed being at church. And once again, he made God a lot of promises, but he never kept them. Said years go by and Ralph became an old man. His health's bad. He's laying in the hospital. One lung's collapsed and I had to have it taken out. Said he's laying there in a bed recovering. There's a man in a bed next to him where a pastor would come in on a regular, almost daily basis, and would pray with that man. And so one day Ralph says, he asked that preacher, said, "Would you pray with me?" And of course he did. Ralph said he got to thinking about all those promises he had made God, those promises that he hadn't kept. Said he got to digging around in the nightstand, and there it was, a copy of God's Word placed there by the auxiliary. Said he got it out and he got to reading. And said, and he just surrendered his life to Jesus right there while he was in that bed recovering from the operation. Said his life changed so much, said that when his family would come visit, "Ralph, what in the world's different?" And he'd tell them about Jesus. By the time he got out of that hospital and went home and started back to going to church, this time his life had changed so much. "Ralph, what's different about you?" And he'd tell them about Jesus. And when he was giving that testimony in a church not far from here, he said that 25 members of his family had come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior because they saw such a change in Ralph's life that they wanted that change for themselves. And you were a part of that too. Jeffrey Green was down here in Georgia. He ended up, he was a businessman, taught Sunday school, and he said that he got to making some bad choices and ended up in the Caldwell County Jail. So while he was in there, that there was some Gideons would come and they'd pass out testaments, and he took one just like most people, went and put it under his mattress. Said the days were so long and time went on so slowly that he finally got that little testament out and got to reading those once familiar verses, and said he got to evaluating his life, and he said he'd recommitted his life to Jesus Christ, and said before he ended up with that experience, he had been into 7 different jails and or penitentiaries, and by the time he got out, that 29 men that he had been able to witness to had come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And you were a part of that too. There was a man, a truck driver, that said he spent most of his life on the road, didn't spend a lot with his wife. Said all that time that, oh, it was many years that his wife and her church family had been praying for him. But he said one day he was checking into a hotel out west somewhere. He said when he opened up his shaving kit, he recognized this little, it was a testament. He recognized his little daughter Susan had placed it in his shaving kit and put a note in it. He found that. It says, "Turn to the back page." Susan, she got this thing at school and already she'd give it to her daddy. So he turned to the back page and he said for the first time in his life, he saw the complete plan of salvation all in one place right there, all in one spot. And said he read that plan of salvation and fell on his knees right there on the floor and said he cried out and Jesus saved him. He said, "Thank you, Lord, thank you." He said, but then he realized that Susan had written him another note. And that note went somewhere along the line of, says, "Dear Dad, says now you've read the plan of salvation." He found the second note. Says, "Now you've read the plan of salvation. Says, won't you surrender your life to Jesus, Dad?" Says, "So you'll never know true happiness till you do." Says, "Dad, Jesus died on that cross for you. Said nobody could ever love you like Jesus, not even me." And she signed her name, Susan. And you were a part of that too. I want to thank you for allowing me to be here today. And I've got a little testament in my pocket, and I hadn't planned to do this, but I think the Lord would want me to. But I got a little testament here in my pocket that I received at a school down here in Anderson County. Got the date May 8, 1952 in it. And I was raised in church. My whole family went to church. Taught Sunday school, much like some of these people we've been talking about. But when times got tough, I made a lot of bad choices. I remember actually telling the Lord, "You're moving too slow, and that thing's just, it's going to have to go faster, it's going to fall apart." And now I look back and I know the problem was is I had not committed my life to Jesus. I had a lot of head knowledge, but I didn't have the heart experience that Jesus wants us to have. So for 12 years, I was out of church. my family broke up, my business went to pot, or I ended up in a different career. But there were some opportunities to go to school. And so I took some college courses over here from Central Wesleyan College. And one of the management courses involved in that said that we would have to set some goals and then give timelines of how of those goals as time went by. And at the end of the course, give a written and an oral testimony or report as to where we were with our goals. And it was on our personal, professional, and spiritual goals. And it was during that experience that I had to face the fact that I had spiritual goals. I knew what they were, but I had no plan to get that would get me there. And it was during that time that the Lord started calling and talking to me about my experience and burdening my heart. It was time to get right with Jesus. And I don't know the exact date, because I wasn't Baptist when I was growing up, and I know Baptists really take a lot of... I mean, you're supposed to know that exact date. But I can tell you that about that moment, it is as if it happened yesterday. I know exactly what was going on, and I even went back years later to see, trying to find that date, because I wanted to be able to tell people the date. And I couldn't find it. Evidently, my wife and I I had no documents with a date on it. But I found out that Sunday, the early part of May of that year, 1994, May 8th was a Sunday. It could have been. Don't know it, but it could have been exactly 42 years later to the day that I'm setting this as far back as you can get in that Baptist church up here called Grove Station. As far back as I could get, but I leaned over and told the wife, we won't join a church unless we both agree. But I leaned over and told her, I'm not going to join, but I got to go. And I went to the front and surrendered my life to Jesus and quit playing church and became a soldier for the Lord. And I want to thank all of you for your attention, for your time. Thank you.
We certainly appreciate Tom coming and giving his report of the work of the Gideons. You heard him tell how many million Bibles were placed this past year. It averages out to each heartbeat that we have, two Bibles are given out somewhere in the world. That's an astounding number. And as he said, the only way that we can distribute Bibles like this is for our churches and individuals to give donations in order that we purchase the Bibles and place them. None of the money at all goes to the administrative work in the Gideon headquarters in Nashville. We're taking up an offering this morning. We hope that you feel led to give so that our ministry can continue. And while the choir sings our closing hymn, we're going to ask the ushers, if they will come, take up the offering. I want to remind all the Gideons, the deacons of our church, that we have a meeting right after our service. So if the deacons will come, the ushers will come forward, take up an offering, and then the choir will sing our closing hymn, and then I'll have our invocation.